coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, well, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Well, what do we have today? First, we've got Inside Skip's Brain, which basically just means, what's going on with me? And then we've got review and comment on the news. And then after that, on segments 2 and 3, we'll be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. And we'll be talking about traveling over the holidays, specifically air travel. How do you travel with your firearm without getting arrested? And it's happened to a lot of good people. So we'll be talking about that. But first, what's going on in my mind? What am I thinking about? Hey, I was just in the house. Oh, before we get on that story, you know, it's been a long week. I'm tired. I've got a cold. I'm fighting off, you know, illness. My first cold of the winter. It's December 1st now, so it's officially winter for me. So I need a drink. Let's crack the dew. Why hold it off any longer? Oh, I've been waiting for this. Oh, nice bouquet. Yeah. Yeah, that'll make you think straight there. All right, what's going on? Well, I was just in the house. Got up this morning and, you know, I helped my 8-year-old Phoenix with his wolf badge for Cub Scouts. We were working on that. Then I came out and did a bunch of work in the office, which is my garage. And I went in just a few minutes ago, and I cooked up some breakfast. I cooked eggs and some fried salami, and then I had some juice to go with that. And I'm eating that, and then all of a sudden it occurred to me, you know, everything on this plate that I'm eating right now, I either grew myself or killed myself. The salami, that was made from a deer that I shot right off this 20 acres. The eggs, the chickens that laid these eggs are about 20 feet away from me right now. And we're getting about 15 to 18 eggs every day now. And then the juice, it's from the pear tree in my front yard. And that's about 30 yards away from where I'm sitting right now. And I thought, you know what, that makes me feel good. I like the idea, the feeling of being self-sufficient. And I didn't even do it on purpose. I didn't fix that meal thinking, oh, I don't want to eat anything today that isn't natural and organic and non-GMO and healthy and all that stuff. I just said, what do I want to eat? And that's pretty much what we have in our refrigerator. But then you think, Skip, you're a hypocrite. You just cracked open a Mountain Dew. Yeah, I know. Mountain Dew is my kryptonite. You know, even Superman had a flaw. He had a weakness. So just leave me alone. I don't want to get any emails about my Mountain Dew. I'll just throw them away. So we were working on his Wolf Merit Badge, and we're supposed to camp out. And, of course, it's December. So I'm thinking maybe we'll camp out in the garage with a heater. But, hey, you do what you got to do. I got to help my son out. Review and comment on the news. All kinds of stuff going on out there, but I want to talk about air travel, you know, transporting firearms while you're flying. And so I just, I picked out some news that would pertain to that. Well, basically, people who don't carry a lot or who don't carry at all, they think, how in the world can anyone accidentally carry a firearm through a TSA checkpoint? But I got to tell you, folks, it happens all the time. I've got the stats for that. We'll go over those probably in segment 4. But here's an article right here. Pennsylvania man arrested at Newark Airport after TSA catches him with a gun. But they make it sound like he did something wrong. A Chester County, Pennsylvania man was arrested at Newark Liberty International Airport. Liberty International Airport. That's another word for freedom, isn't it? November 30th, after a Transportation Security Administration officer detected a loaded semi-automatic handgun in the traveler's carry-on bag. A TSA officer who was staffing the checkpoint X-ray machine detected a 9mm semi-automatic handgun inside the man's backpack. It was loaded with 8 bullets. The Landenburg, Pennsylvania resident told TSA officials he forgot that he had his loaded gun in his knapsack. And I know you think, how could you forget that? I don't fly very often. I fly maybe once a year. And so it'd be impossible for me to forget that. But I know some people, businessmen, they might fly every day or every weekday or two or three times a week. And if you carry all day, every day, and you fly every day, I can see where you could do that because you just become desensitized to the presence of the handgun. But TSA officers immediately contacted the Port Authority Police Department, which responded to the checkpoint, confiscated the gun, and arrested the man on state weapons charges. As a reminder, weapons, including firearms, firearms parts, and ammunition, are not permitted in carry-on bags. Travelers who bring weapons to the checkpoint are subject to criminal charges from law enforcement and civil penalties from TSA of up to $12,000. A typical first offense for bringing a gun to a checkpoint is a $3,000 penalty. All right, here's another one. Man arrested after TSA stopped him with loaded gun at BWI Airport. Linthicum, Maryland. A man was arrested at Baltimore Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport, that's a mouthful, early this morning, November 21, after a TSA officer caught him with a loaded semi-automatic handgun in his carry-on bag at a security checkpoint. The man was found to have a 9mm caliber gun loaded with 12 bullets, including one in the chamber, when his carry-on bag entered the TSA checkpoint X-ray machine, where the gun was spotted on the X-ray monitor. TSA contacted the Maryland Transportation Authority police, who responded to the checkpoint, confiscated the firearm, and arrested the man on weapons charges. Today's gun catch brought the total number of firearms that TSA officers have detected at BWI so far this calendar year to 23. In 2016, a total of 24 firearms were detected at the airport's checkpoints by TSA officers. Well, it looks like they're on track to surpass the 2016 number. Oh, here's one. I remember this one when this one came out. In 2013, the wife of rocker Ted Nugent told TSA screeners she forgot she was carrying a loaded gun in her bag as she tried to get through security at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Shemaine Nugent, 51, was arrested on Thursday morning after security detected a loaded Smith & Wesson 38 Special revolver at the bottom of her carry-on bag. The pistol was loaded with 5 rounds of ammunition. Another 10 rounds were located in the side pocket of the gun's carrying case. That's a nice gun. That's the same gun my wife carries. It's the Smith & Wesson Airweight. Very nice gun. A little bit of a kick to it, but my wife can handle it. And she's a pretty good shot with it. When questioned about the bag and what was inside it, she told officers, "I know what the problem is. I forgot the gun was in the bag." Yeah, I remember when this came out and I thought, oh man, press is going to have a field day with this. They've been waiting for something like this to happen. Nugent told police she has a concealed handgun license and been carrying the gun for protection when she attended physical training classes because she had been receiving death threats. She told officers she forgot the pistol was inside the bag when she decided to use it as a carry-on. Mrs. Nugent was handcuffed and arrested. She has since been released. Now, I think what happened on this, the final disposition, I believe she got a $2,000 fine, and she may have lost the gun, confiscated the gun, which that's probably not a big deal. For them, I'm certainly the embarrassment was the worst part of all of that, and the bad public relations. Shemaine is not the first celebrity to get wrapped around the axle with firearms laws. Who is this? Harry Connick Jr. He was arrested in New York City in January of 1993. He was caught with an unlicensed unloaded handgun at JFK Airport while traveling New Orleans. He claimed the handgun was a gift from his sister. He spent a night in jail, but the charges were later dropped. Well, yeah, he's Harry Connick Jr. Okay, Peter Criss, former drummer of the 1970s rock group Kiss. Remember them? That's a scary group. Arrested at Kennedy Airport in New York on August 11, 1995. He was arrested after a .380 caliber handgun and ammunition were discovered in his carry-on luggage by an X-ray machine worker. David Crosby, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Arrested in Dallas, Texas on April 13, 1982. He was arrested on drug-related weapons, drug-related charges. What a surprise. Weapons possession charges and got a prison term. Texas Rangers found a .45 caliber handgun under his seat during a traffic stop. His conviction was overturned on appeal after he had spent a year in Texas State Penitentiary. All right, here's another one. Barry Switzer, I'm not sure, from the Dallas Cowboys coach. He was arrested at Dallas-Fort Worth in 1997 for carrying a loaded .38 caliber revolver in his carry-on. Claimed he forgot it was there. Oh, and here's a big name. Eddie Van Halen, arrested at Burbank Airport, April 7th, 1995. His 9mm Beretta pistol was seized after being discovered in his carry-on Gucci bag. Well, at least he had a Gucci bag. He was fined $1,000. I bet the bag was worth more than that. This was just after the LA Times published an article touting Van Halen's group as being mature and socially responsible because it started concerts with a plea to the audience to support handgun control. I'm sorry. That is just funny. Jerry Lee Lewis, arrested at the gates of Graceland on November 23, 1976. He was drunk and carrying a pistol. Oh, Jennifer Lopez and Sean Puffy Coombs were arrested December 26, 1999. They were arrested after running a red light and having a gun discovered in the car. Coombs was later charged and J-Lo was released after 10 hours. Other extenuating circumstances included a murder and assault before the arrest. Coombs was found not guilty of all charges. Al Pacino, the gangster. Arrested in New York City on January 6, 1961. He was one of three occupants in a car, all wearing black mask and gloves. Police found a loaded .38 pistol in the trunk. There is no record of prosecution or conviction. Well, 1961, it was probably legal. Damian Robinson of the New York Jets was arrested in New Jersey in 2001. He was caught with an unknown assault rifle in the back of his SUV during a routine search. What does that mean, an unknown assault rifle? He didn't know it was there? That's strange. Christian Slater. All these Hollywood types, they're anti-gun, but they're all carrying guns. Arrested at New York's JFK Airport, 1994, he was carrying a pistol in a carry-on, allegedly a Beretta 92. Well, at least it was a nice gun. Well, you can see there might be a little bit of a double standard when it comes to Hollywood, the far left, and guns. Well, folks, we're out of time here, but when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms all about this whole issue of how do you travel legally and safely with your firearm through the TSA and on the airplane. All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We got 2 minutes. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, Elite Firearms and Training out of Middleville, and then also Firearms Legal Protection, firearmslegal.com. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol.
So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your Skip Coriel, and we are speaking this segment and segment three with Joel Fulton, one of the owners of Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel, welcome back to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, thanks, Skip. It's always good to be here.
Well, Joel, it's been a couple of months since we've had you on, but you're always one of my favorite firearms instructors.
Appreciate that, Skip.
All right, Joel, what is up in your world? What's been going on?
Black Friday sales were good, and across the nation, obviously, that was good. According to the NICS numbers, it was the single largest day worth of checks that they have done in their history at this point. So we had another record-setting Black Friday day. The two previous record-setting days were both Black Fridays. And bear in mind that the NICS checks, those only include the actual checks that are done. So it doesn't include if somebody has bought multiple guns in a single transaction. So that's not necessarily reflective of the number of firearms that transferred. And it also doesn't include anything where there's a state that has an exemption to the NICS check, such as Michigan, where if you have a pistol purchase permit or if you have a concealed pistol license, no check is being run through the NICS system. So probably a good 60% of the firearms that I transferred on Black Friday didn't receive a NICS check because they've already had a fingerprint-based background check done. Yeah, just a ton of firearms transferred on Black Friday. In fact, probably enough to arm a couple of small third-world countries.
Well, actually, I think that's good. How is supply? I know a year ago, I think we talked, and there was a glut, you know, as far as supply goes. Are you having trouble getting firearms or not?
No, it's still there. With polymer firearms, it's real easy to crank those things out. I think some of the manufacturers are starting to see the downward sales trend. They're finally starting to scale back a bit. But you still, with some publicly traded companies, a lot more of the firearms industry is becoming publicly traded. So you got to find a way to please those stockholders. So they're doing a lot to try and push sales in the market. It's certainly a buyer's market right now. There's a lot of sales discounts, giveaways, manufacturers rebates. So it's definitely a buyer's market right now.
Mm-hmm. So what about ammunition? Same deal with that?
Yeah, same deal with that. Ammunition is plentiful. There's plenty of 22 long rifle to be had. I know several years ago there was just about nothing and you had a hard time finding it anywhere, but that's pretty readily available. I had a sale on Black Friday for 50-round boxes at $3.99 a box.
Mm-hmm. So what is
so
it?
So that's actually back down to somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, what's the going rate on a 500 brick of 22 long rifle?
Oh, probably, let's see, 500 brick would be 10 boxes, so probably $30-some dollars, roughly.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep stocking up. I mean, it's not like they go bad in a year. But
no, 20-year shelf life if properly stored.
Yeah, well, actually, the shelf life on ammo is probably longer than the shelf life on my life at my age. But so
it all depends on how you take care of yourself, right?
That's right.
Besides, I got a friend of mine who tells me that you're only as old as the woman you hold. So you're like 20 years younger than what you actually are, aren't you?
Yeah, but is that true? That's the question.
I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just saying that's what he says.
Yeah, well, she does make me feel younger. Joel, for you people who don't know, Joel is referring to the youth of my wife. She's like 20 years younger than I am and gorgeous and smart and right now scratching her head thinking, what was I thinking? Why did I marry this man? But it's too late now.
Because of your charming sense of humor.
That's right. It's too late. It's too late now. She'll just have to get stronger. But anyways, Joel, we're going to be talking about traveling with firearms. Why don't we start out with like car travel, and then in segment three, we'll go over air travel. What are some of the things people have to be concerned about when they're traveling either in the state of Michigan or when they cross state lines?
Well, car travel with United States Title 18, Section 926A, you are allowed, and basically that was passed in 1986 under the Firearms Owners Protection Act. It allows you to travel without worrying about local ordinances in between. So as long as your firearm is legal where you came from, it is legal where you are going to. And you have that firearm unloaded, locked in the trunk if your vehicle has a trunk. If your vehicle does not have a trunk, it needs to be in a case designed for the storage of firearms, and that case needs to be locked. And then your ammunition needs to be in a separate case, locked. If you travel in that manner, you can travel anywhere in the United States, as long as, like I said, it's legal where you came from and legal where you're going to, which means you're going to want to know where you're going and what is legal in that jurisdiction. In other words, you're traveling to New York to see relatives. Well, you better not have a magazine that can hold more than 7 rounds.
Yeah.
Because of their ridiculous SAFE Act. If you're going to California, you probably shouldn't have a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds.
What about Illinois?
Illinois, Chicago, I kind of avoid that place altogether just because there's no way to legally register a handgun from a non-resident. Mm-hmm. I don't even like visiting, really. But other than that, Illinois is not really all that bad. I've actually been pulled over in Illinois, had my concealed pistol license with me. I announced it properly and all that. And the nice state police officer let me go with a warning. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting a ticket for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know... In Illinois, I mean, they have a provision in their CPL statute, Illinois statute, that says that if you have a resident permit from your home state, you can keep it in your holster while you're driving through the state, provided the gun never leaves the vehicle. And that was kind of nice because I hated disarming every time I drove up to Illinois. So I just drive through with it on my hip, and if I have to stop for gas, my wife pumps gas for me.
I figure if they're telling me they don't want me to get out of my vehicle with my firearm on me, they're telling me they don't want me to get out of my vehicle, so I make sure I gas up on the Indiana side of the Indiana-Illinois border, and by the time I'm to St. Louis, then I gas up on the Missouri side, and I make sure I don't spend one red cent in that commie state.
Actually, that's probably a better idea. Now, I know... In Michigan, we have the immediate disclosure law, which I hate. I think it's dumb as a box of rocks, but Michigan has that. But a lot of other states don't have that. I recently traveled from Newport, Oregon, which is on the west coast, from Michigan, and I was able to drive all the way west, and really the only two states that I had to immediately disclose were Michigan and Nebraska. Do you know of any others where you have to immediately disclose?
You know, I'd have to go through them again. There's about 10 or 11 states that do, and then there's several states, most of the states don't. And look, they claim officer safety, but in these states where they don't require immediate disclosure, there's no trail of dead bodies.
Yeah.
For police officers. It doesn't happen. Look, I think it's a courtesy. I don't think it's a bad way to approach. I'm not sure I like the immediately effect of it because if I'm nervous and I'm flustered because I don't usually get pulled over, I don't exceed the speed limit, or I'm on a 6-lane freeway that I'm not used to because I live in, I don't know, someplace like Berry County in Michigan. And suddenly I miss a turn or I'm trying to make an exit and I speed up or I change lanes without turning my blinker signal on. Then I get pulled over on top of that and I just forget to announce that I have my firearm right away.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be, a serious offense. Quite frankly, police officers should be asking those questions anyway because they should be in control of their stop.
Yeah. Well, and if they're properly trained, on a traffic stop, that's one of the most dangerous things they're going to do all day long. So they're going to approach with caution. They're going to assume that there's a weapon and that things could go south at any given moment. But
have you seen the video that I produced on the traffic stop and how to handle it?
Yes, yes. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, so that would be a great resource for most folks. We did that in conjunction with the Battle Creek Police Department. If you go to YouTube and just type into your search bar, Freedom Firearms Traffic Stop,
mm-hmm.
It's about a seven-minute video, but we go through the whole thing, and I think that's probably the best way to handle traffic stops. Whether you're required to immediately disclose or not, I think it's a pretty decent courtesy. It goes through with how to handle instructions with a police officer. Communication's two-way. So if an officer gives you an instruction, repeat the instruction back to him.
Yeah.
If you're not understanding it correctly, that gives him an opportunity to correct you and go, nope, that's not what I mean. This is what I want you to do. And he can correct it before you make any motions whatsoever. That way, none of your motions ever get misinterpreted to a point where, unfortunately, you're the one that could end up shot.
Yeah. Well, Joel, we've got about 2 minutes left. Before we leave this segment, let's talk about reciprocity, because I know that's always foremost on people's minds this
sure.
time of the year because they're traveling across the country.
Reciprocity, probably the best website out there to figure out reciprocity for your particular state. And I'm trying to be cognizant of the fact that there you have may have listeners other than just the state of Michigan. Michigan happens to have the most recognized permit anywhere in the nation. We can carry in a full 41 of the 50 states that have concealed carry. Go to handgunlaw.us, and that is probably the most comprehensive website on the internet that will inform you of each of the state's laws. And the biggest thing you want is to be able to pull up their laws, have direct links, and you really want to know whatever state you're going to, you want to know what their off-limits places are. Because that's what's going to concern you most. Even though they may grant you reciprocity and you'll be able to figure that out, you will still have to abide by their laws when you're in their state.
Joel, real quickly, what's happening with national reciprocity? I noticed an article about that just yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, right now the NRA is in support of it. The National Association for Gun Rights is opposing it. The chairman of the Second Amendment Caucus in the House is opposing it. I just got a text from Congressman Amash last night letting me know that he has some concerns about it, that they may be trying to slip some other stuff in there with it, like a review of bump stocks and combining it with another bill from a couple of years ago that wasn't so great. So he's got some concerns. I haven't seen anything written from him specifically what his concerns are. And he said as soon as he had it, he would get it to me. I know Congressman Amash, some people love him, some people hate him, but he generally is pretty adherent to the Constitution. So I would like to see what his concerns are at least and be able to review that. And so that's what's come out of caucus at this point. We don't have any actual draft of any language. I'm real hesitant to go ahead and blanketly support something. I like the idea. I definitely want national reciprocity. I think that's a great step forward. I just don't want to – I want to make sure we don't have bad legislation in the process.
Yeah, I hear what you say. I wish they would just take a bill and just leave it clean without adding all this other garbage onto it.
My father used to say single-issue legislation.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I hate traveling to Oregon because – I travel across the whole country armed, and then I get to my destination, and I have to be disarmed, and I just hate that. But hey,
well, why don't you get a non-resident Oregon permit?
Because I'm only there for like 10, 12 days. I checked into it, and it was a little stickier than I first thought it might be. So I'm just hoping they sort out this national reciprocity bill and get something good passed, but. We're out of time on the second segment here. We've got a two-minute break. While we are gone, check out our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection, firearmslegal.com, and then Elite Firearms in Training out of Middleville. When we come back, we'll be speaking more with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, and we'll be talking about flying with firearms. How can you legally do that without getting wrapped around the justice system axle? This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
is Phoenix Coryell on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coryell from the Home Defense Show, and I want to talk to you about keeping your kids safe around guns. I've never been a big fan of trigger locks, but I have to tell you, I have found a product called ChildSafe One. It's a trigger blocker, not a trigger lock, and it works fantastic. I tried it out on my kids, and they could not get the ChildSafe One off the training gun. I gave them 5 minutes. I sat there and I watched them, and they couldn't do it. Folks, I am satisfied, more than satisfied, that my kids are safe around ChildSafe One. Here's the good thing about it. I can get that lock off the gun in under 2 seconds, but my kids can't even figure out how it works. ChildSafe One is a win-win for everyone in the family. My wife's happy because she knows the guns are secure. My kids are happy because they're safe. And I'm happy because when the wolf comes a-knocking, I've got that gun cocked, locked, and ready to rock in less than 2 seconds. So go to globalgunsafety.com and get ChildSafe One today. That's globalgunsafety.com. Check it out now and tell them the Home Defense Show sent you. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Concealed Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coryell, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coryell.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coryell, and we are speaking with Joel Fulton, owner of Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel, I remember last year I met you at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and we had a good time down there. We had lunch, as I recall, on the floor.
We did.
And but, you know, I remember flying in to Las Vegas. And, you know, I had checked my pistol legally, and then I got my bag off the carousel, and I thought, well, okay, now I've got to arm myself. So I go into the public restroom there, and I get out my gun. I go ahead and I load it, and, you know, I had my holster on, and I'm in there, and I'm thinking, you know, I have to be very, very careful here because, you know, you don't want a negligent discharge. You don't want to hurt somebody. It's embarrassing. You don't want to get in trouble, any of that stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, but, you know, I got to rack this slide. I don't want other people to hear the slide rack. I don't want to freak people out or anything. And then as I'm sitting there thinking about it, I hear someone in the stall right next to me rack the slide on a semi-automatic pistol. And I thought, what the hell? So I just racked it. And holstered it, and it clicked in place. But, you know, this is Las Vegas. We're at the SHOT Show. You know, I notice all these guys going into the stalls with their baggage. I'm thinking, yeah, everybody's arming up. For all I know, it could have been you in the stall right next to me, Joel.
Well, it probably wasn't, because I actually have a friend that has a house out there, and he graciously allows me to stay out there when I travel out to Las Vegas, whether it's SHOT Show time or otherwise. since there's other activities out there that I enjoy, such as poker playing. And I store one of my firearms out there at his house. So he usually just meets me at the airport, picks me up, and when I get in, he hands me my gun.
You know, that's a better way to go. Someday when I'm rich, I'll just buy a condo out there.
But, and I will probably beg to stay there.
Well, you won't have to beg too hard. But the bad news is I'll never be rich, okay? Joel, I was doing some internet searching here, and I came up with the stats for 2013, 14, and 15 for the TSA on their confiscation of firearms, how many pistols they found in carry-on baggage. In 2013, it was 1,813. In 2014, it was 2,212. And then in 2015, it was 2,653. I don't know what it was for 2016 because I couldn't find that. But, boy, that's a marked rise. What do you think's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot of brand-new firearms owners that probably aren't aware of the laws. I think you have a lot more CPL holders that are carrying on a daily basis. I know one of my CPL holders that came through my class, nice gentleman. He's a professional consultant, probably in his late 50s. And he got an emergency phone call to, you know, go and consult with this company that he was had to fly to get to. And he just immediately left and went there. And without even thinking about it, he had his firearm in his briefcase.
Yeah.
He got to the TSA and they found the gun. And next thing you know, he's getting questioned and arrested and all kinds of stuff. And it took him quite a bit to get it out of that. He did get it reduced down to a misdemeanor, which was pretty fortunate for him in Wayne County. They wanted to hit him with a felony. And it's ridiculous, to be quite frankly honest.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people, there just needs to be a mechanism to go, hey, look, you're a CPL holder. You shouldn't have been doing this. Go buy this and go put it in check luggage. So a lot of those guns they're finding are not, you know, terrorist guns. Those
right.
are honest CPL holders who were absent-minded and forgot they had their firearm in their backpack or in there, whatever.
Yeah. Your friend, did he do any prison time or?
He just... did not. Nope. He Sweet. Nope. He just paid some fines and was able to move forward. I suspect his age and demeanor probably helped with most of that. Very kindly gentleman.
Well, that's good. A friend of mine, he's a TSA officer. And every time, it really makes him mad, but every time I meet him, I'll walk up and I'll shake his hand like, oh yeah, Officer Jollyfinger, how you doing? You know, and boy, he just hates that. But he's a good guy, you know, he means well. And, you know, a lot of people, they just don't like the TSA because of the inconvenience.
It's an inconvenience and it's, you know, the FBI has done testing recently with TSA and they've got approximately, from the statistics I saw, a 95% fail rate. So if they're catching 2,000 guns, they've only caught 5% of them.
That's amazing, isn't it?
There's just so much going on. When you're trying to look at that much luggage that fast, it's very
yeah.
difficult.
A lot of people, especially people who don't carry or just aren't familiar with firearms, they'll go, how can anyone be so stupid as to walk through a checkpoint where they know guns aren't allowed with something in their gym bag or something like that? How do you respond to that?
It's like your wristwatch. Eventually, you forget it's there. In
yeah.
fact, it feels weird when it's not there. I'm more likely to know that I don't have my firearm on me than to remember that I have my firearm on me.
Yeah. Because
when I don't have my firearm on me, I'm like, something's missing.
Exactly.
But when it's there, it's comfortable.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. You know, for me, I only travel maybe once or twice a year. On an airplane. So it's not a big deal for me, but I know some guys, businessmen, they'll have to go to out of state, you know, maybe two or three times a week. And so I can see
right.
where they might just forget about it. You get really super busy and you just totally forget about it.
Which means not only is carrying part of their routine, so
yeah.
is the airline part of their routine. It just becomes routine, and so it's not something they think about. Whereas when you and I, because we carry and we're going to an airport and we only do it once or twice a year, that's the immediate first thought in our mind.
I'll just go over the stats here. I got this from TSA.gov. Transporting firearms and ammunition. It says you may transport unloaded firearms in a locked, hard-sided container as checked baggage only.
Declare the firearm and or ammunition to the airline when checking your bag at the ticket counter. The container must completely secure the firearm from being accessed. Locked cases that can be easily opened are not permitted. Be aware that the container the firearm was in when purchased may not adequately secure the firearm when it is transported in checked baggage. Yeah, so it's not just firearms. It's firearms, it's ammunition, even firearms parts, including magazines, yeah. Clips, bolts, all that stuff.
They typically want a metal or a very solid case with reinforced corners, and it has to lock in such a manner that you can't pry open like any one side of the container and pull stuff out. And you can store your ammunition in the same container with it, not loaded or in the magazine, of course, but they require that the ammunition be in its original box, its original factory box. And they don't allow, I think it's, you can't have more than 1 pound of ammunition, I think it is.
No, actually, I looked it up, Joel. It's 7 pounds of
ammunition. 7 pounds of ammunition, okay. Yeah. I knew there's a pound limit on the ammunition.
Yeah, 7 pounds of ammo, and they have stipulations for caliber not exceeding 75 caliber, and you can't carry shotgun shells. I'm not sure why, but those are just the guidelines. Maybe it has something to do with the amount of gunpowder or propellant.
I believe it probably does.
I mean, you could make a bomb out of that, I guess. But I remember you mentioned inside, if you carry ammo, it has to be in the original container.
Correct.
But I have flown and, you know, declared. It's very simple to declare. You just walk up and say, yeah, I'd like to declare a firearm, and they hand you that little tag, and I got one right here in front of me. It's a little orange Continental Airlines Firearms Declaration tag. I had read on there, this was several years back, but I had the ammunition right inside the magazine, not in the magazine well. And I had I read online that the ammunition cannot be exposed. And I thought, what is up with that? So, you know, being a fine redneck like I am, I just said, well, duct tape will fix that. So I just duct taped over the top of the magazine so they couldn't see it. And, you know, she says, well, can you open up the case? So I opened up the case. She looked at it and she said, okay, yeah, everything's fine. Apparently, if you can't see ammunition, it's not really there. But but hey,
what I've generally done when I travel, it always makes me nervous because I'm afraid somebody's gonna break in my luggage, steal something, that sort of thing. One of the things I typically do is when I transport my firearm, and also because when I open the case, I hate having like a firearm right there that's, you know, fully functional. I tend to field strip mine when I transport them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not a requirement. It's just something I do. Also, when it goes through the X-ray scanners, if it's field stripped, it doesn't necessarily look like a gun through any scanner. So, again, it's a less attractive target for folks. Most people who are going to steal those things probably don't have enough knowledge to put it back together anyway.
You're probably right. I remember back in 2010, I think that was the first time that I flew with a firearm. At that time, they took that bright orange cardboard tag and they attached it to the outside of your suitcase. And then several years later, they wondered why all these people's pistols were being stolen. And then now they won't attach it to the outside of the case. They'll put it inside your checked luggage. So, you know, the baggage handlers don't see this bright orange tag that says, hey, there's a gun in here, come and steal me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last time I traveled with a firearm, I was waiting on the carousel for it to come out, and it never came out, and it never came out, and it never came out, and then the carousel shut off. And at that time, I was still married, so I was starting to get panicked. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick around here. Why don't you go let them know that our luggage is lost as quickly as possible so we can start tracking this thing. And while she was going to report the lost luggage, here comes this fella. He's got a case in his hand, and I'm still standing there, and he goes, would you happen to be Mr. Fulton? I said, I thought maybe that was for me. He goes, well, do you have, you know, the other side of the ticket to prove that this is your luggage? And I said, no, I just sent that with my wife because we were going to report the luggage stolen, but what I do have is a key. And he said, well, if that key works in this luggage, it's yours. So
Well, that's nice. That's really nice. You know, I've had horror stories from some of my students who have not followed these laws, and boy, they get in some big trouble. I mean, yeah, you might plea it down to a misdemeanor, but you still are going to get arrested, handcuffed, and it's embarrassing, and you're going to be out several. I believe the average fine, I looked it up, was like $3,000. For the fine, and plus you lose the firearm, which could be another $1,000. So,
well, depending on what you carry, for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, it is a
pricey.
Big deal.
It's an expensive mistake.
All right, now, Joel, we're out of time now, but before we go, tell people how they can visit you there in Battle Creek and maybe visit you online as well.
Our website is www.freedomfirearms-online.com. That's our online store. Again, that's www.freedomfirearms-online.com. And that ties into all of our wholesalers' websites, so you can feel free to browse on there, order it. If it's a firearm, it's going to ship here to the store. Accessories will mostly ship to you. So it's a real convenient way to shop from home if that's what you want to do. But if you want to come in and see us and take advantage of our well-trained, knowledgeable staff, friendly folks, go out there on the range with you. We've got an indoor 50-foot pistol range. Love to have you here at the store. And that's here at 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest here in Battle Creek, Michigan. And again, that's 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest here in Battle Creek, Michigan. And then our regular website, www.freedomfirearms.biz. So we would love to have you guys here at the store. We love doing what we do. If you're here in the area, obviously, we'd love to take care of any of your training needs. Obviously, I don't try and get into Skip's territory up there. That's yours. So.
All right, well, Joel, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show. You're knowledgeable and fun to talk with, as always. I will be down there to Battle Creek Freedom Firearms to visit you shortly, and we'll get caught up on all kinds of personal stuff. Again, Joel, thank you very much for being on the show.
Sounds great. Thanks, Skip. Always good to be here.
All right, folks, this is Skip Correll on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my book, Concealed Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Correll, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Correll.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Correll, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Correll from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Correll. That was a fine two segments with Joel Fulton, owner of Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Love that guy. He's a good brother. He supported me through Second Amendment March, and I am eternally grateful. Before I get too far into this segment, I want to thank Carol Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters. You remember we had her on last week, had a good time with Carol. And then afterwards, offline, she sent me a free holster. It's the holster that I wanted, and I told her I was going to order it, and she says, hey, no, don't order it. I'll have the boys make you one, and we'll ship it to you. And that just came yesterday, and I carried it to church last night. It's an appendix carry inside the waistband holster. It is so much nicer than the other one that I have. I will be carrying that more often. It's comfortable. It's straight up and down without that cant, and I can put it right underneath my navel, and it just hits every body part just right, or more specifically, doesn't hit that body part. Very comfortable. So I recommend Crossbreed Holsters. Just go to crossbreedholsters.com and check out their full line. Some really good stuff. And again, Carol Craighead, thank you very much for your kindness, your generosity, and for the service that you do to our great nation. All right. Now, Joel, he was talking about, he mentioned handgunlaw.us. Check out that website. That's a nice one. There's also one, usacarry.com. I don't like that one quite so much simply because it's got some real raunchy ads that I don't like it when my wife comes up behind me and I'm looking at a gun website and there's, you know, a half-naked woman there and she's going, Skip, what are you looking at? Honey, it's just an ad, you know? But, I don't like that one quite as much anymore. Handgunlaw.us, check that one out. And then we talked about immediate disclosure. One of the things I don't like about immediate disclosure is people just tend to forget. I mean, my wife did it one time, and I had to disclose for her because she just got so rattled because she'd been pulled over by someone with a gun, and she was afraid of getting in trouble. So she just rattled on, and I finally had to say, Officer, my wife and I are both CPO holders, and we're both carrying today. So it was a happy ending. I wish they'd get rid of that. Hopefully they will. National reciprocity, we can pray on that, and we can contact our senators and our reps and see if we can keep that moving. I would love to see that happen as well. On the immediate disclosure, there was a horror story, and it was a true horror story, of a man in Montcalm County who got pulled over by the police. And the policeman was angry at him because apparently he'd done something stupid. The guy was a CPL holder. And the officer walked up to his window and started chewing him out for the stupid thing that he'd done. And the driver kept trying to interrupt him to tell him that he was a CPL holder and he was carrying. But the officer kept telling him to shut up. And this was all on dash cam. Finally, the officer paused and he told him, I'm a CPL holder and I'm carrying today. And the officer said, well, hey, why didn't you immediately disclose? Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. Folks, that's the one time you can interrupt a police officer. Right away, you immediately disclose. This man waited 41 seconds and he was cited for that. He ended up getting his CPL suspended and fined. He appealed it in court. He lost the appeal. So don't even wait 41 seconds. Don't wait at all. Just interrupt the police officer as politely as you can. Say, Officer, I'm a concealed carry holder and I'm carrying today. Another horror story that came to mind. I had a man call me up a couple of years, that was about a year ago. And he said, I just got back from New York City. I had flown from Michigan to New Hampshire and I was carrying, and he can legally carry in New Hampshire. But then he wanted to fly out of LaGuardia, which is in New York City. So he went up to the ticket counter and he declared his firearm, like he thought he should be doing. And they called the police. The police came, they handcuffed him, arrested him, took him away, stuck him in jail. He spent several days in jail, and then he got out on bond, got a lawyer, and come back to Michigan. And he called me up and said, well, a friend of mine knows you, said, you know, I should call you. And I said, well, okay, yeah, this is a serious deal. And he says, no, no, the lawyer there in New York said it happens all the time. It's not a big deal at all. I don't need to worry about anything. And I said, you better get a different lawyer because I think that's a big deal. And he didn't agree with me, and he says, nah, just forget it. I said, well, do me a favor. As soon as you get through with your case and the final disposition is done, just call me up and let me know what happens so I can, you know, give my students the benefit of your experience. He says, okay, I'll do that. It's been over a year. I haven't heard from this man. And so I have a feeling he's in jail. So I went online, and I just did a search on this, and it come right up. This is from NewYorkLawyers.org. New York criminal possession of a weapon at New York airports. Far from uncommon, police officers in Queens and other jurisdictions routinely make arrests in New York after a non-resident of New York wrongfully believes he or she can possess a firearm in this state. Unfortunately, the harsh reality for these people is that if they possess that loaded firearm in Queens at LaGuardia Airport or JFK Airport, and they did not have a license in New York to do so, they will be charged with criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree, pursuant to New York Penal Law 265.03. What is more troubling for these people is that oftentimes they are properly checking the weapon at LaGuardia or JFK airports in an approved case where the ammunition or bullets are not physically loaded in the gun. These people wrongfully believe that they are permitted to have a firearm in New York because they are licensed in their home state, and because they are declaring or checking the firearm and were not stopped when it was brought to New York, they have not perpetrated any crime. Not only are the above assumptions completely incorrect in the eyes of New York penal law, but the crime of New York criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree is punishable by a mandatory minimum of 3.5 years in prison, even if you have no record at all. So I'll probably hear from this guy in another 2.5 years. One of the most common reactions individuals charged with CPW-2 have is that they had no idea it was a crime to bring their otherwise licensed gun into New York. Ignorance of the law is no defense, though. Some argue that the gun never left the carrying case or the hotel room. Others mistakenly claim that since the bullets were not in the cylinder or chamber, or that the magazine was not in the gun, the firearm is not loaded. Despite this logical assertion, New York law is clear. If the firearm is capable of being loaded, then the firearm is considered loaded. In other words, the ammunition in the carrying case with the firearm will likely be sufficient to charge and convict you. Wow. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? There's two Americas. There's America with a C and America with a K. I tell you this all the time. Places like New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, Maryland, Rhode Island, you know, California. That's America with a K. You do not have your right to keep and bear arms there. You just don't have it. And you can get in some real trouble there. Well, we are just about out of time on the Home Defense Show. But while we're taking a break for a whole week long, do a Google search on Freedom Firearms Traffic Stop on YouTube. I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll put a link to that along with this podcast so that you can just click on that and go to it and check out what you should be doing on a traffic stop. That's specific to Michigan, but a lot of it carries over to other states as well. This is Christmas season. We're in December now. I'm going to be watching a lot of Christmas shows with my kids and with my wife. So I will be having little segments of Christmas shows, my favorite Christmas shows. I'd like to know what your favorite Christmas show is. I have two favorites. One is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. You all know what that is. And then the other one would be Die Hard, the original Die Hard 1 with Bruce Willis. I love that Christmas show. Like I said, we're out of time. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember God, family, country in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, Get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!